Blog Talk Radio.
And it says, perfect father, can a woman forget the baby she nurses? Can she feel no kindness for the child to which she gave birth? Even if she could forget her children, I will not forget you. Isaiah 49:15 NCV. Good father, that title only lightly touches on the pure goodness of who you are to your children. Kindness with which you see me runs deeper than the roots of the wild fig tree. In the strength of your love, I find my place at your table. As a child of the king, my inheritance is secure. I run to you with my skinned knees. I reveal my deepest heartaches, knowing that you have what I need to comfort me and give me perspective. Where my mom and dad fell short in meeting my needs, you fill in and make up for with your perfect parenting. Thank you that we never grow out of needing parental guidance, advocacy, and wisdom. You are the one I have continually come back to, and I won't stop now. You are where I find my true identity. Why would I look somewhere else? Absolutely and securely found in relationship to you. Perfect Father, I come today just as I am, knowing that I am fully accepted by you. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this beautiful word today. We thank you for this basic instruction before leaving earth. We thank you for this blueprint that we call the Bible. Father God, we ask you to continue to open our eyes and ears that we may hear it, that we may see it, that we may feel it, God. Open our hearts. Father God, we ask you to forgive us for anything we may have thought, we may have said, we may have done, seen and unseen. Lord God, give us a clean heart and a right spirit within us before we even try to pursue reading your word. Clean us up, God, from the inside out. Let your Holy Spirit light us up, God, that we are filled with you as we read your word and teach your word, God. We ask you, Father God, to guide us and lead us and to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name, the name of the Holy Savior, our friend, our Redeemer. As the song says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We say so, Lord. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And it's in his name we read this word, teach this word, speak this word with a heart filled with you. And we say together, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day on this earth. But this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing in it. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, family. Amen. I hope everyone is well, slept well, did well, feel well, all goes well. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And as we get ready to open up the word of God, please join Mother Valerie and I in Zechariah chapter 7 through 9. Our 148th Psalm, verses 7 through 14. Our proverb today is Proverbs 30, 29 through 31, and Revelations chapter 18. And I tell you, we got some today. It's some good words. And, oh, wow, just excited. And tomorrow we'll be in Zechariah again. We'll be just about ready to finish up our word this weekend. We will be also in Malachi. Wow, we got a lot.
Amen.
And then on Sunday, when Mother Valerie, hopefully she will be able to read our last day of the year. Wow.
Wonderful.
Our last day of the year is Sunday, y'all.
That's amazing.
And we will be finishing up Revelations. We will be finishing up Proverbs. We will be finishing up. So, a lot of word on Sunday. A lot of word on tomorrow. And word today. And I'm just like, wow. I still am looking at, as they say, read the book. I'm still looking at the book and seeing only a few more pages left as we get ready to wrap it up. And then we'll start all over again. So let's get started. Zechariah 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Now in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Cheslev, when the people sent Sherezer and Ragema Malik and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts to me said, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets? When Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. And when I read this, I thought about everything that happens right now. Country, we have folks so angry at aliens. Well, they should be coming over here, and they should be this, and they taking this, and they taking that. That's not what the, but these, and I'm not talking the secular, I'm talking Christians. But the word of God tells us, as Christians, and I say this as a Christian, as a believer in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the word of God tells us, execute true justice. Don't get caught up in lies and deceit and put people on pedestals. It says, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother, whether it's your biological brother or whether it's your brother in the spirit. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless. People like widows, everything you have, somebody trying to get rich and take from the fatherless, the alien or the poor. How many people do we see homeless and empty houses all over the place? Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Folks sending caravans of folks, aliens, to cities that they claim, quote unquote, are in certain states that open their doors. And then you have so many homeless and so much bigotry and hatred. And it's not of God. The word of God has told us how to act. It is our blueprint for life. Kind. It says to execute justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. As we know in the word of God, it says, how can I say I love God but hate my brother?
My Lord.
We can't do it. And as we go into verse 11 of Zechariah chapter 7, it says, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent to his spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I'm a zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor. I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. In truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion. As he said to us, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. God is giving mercy. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness, compassion. That's what God does, his compassion, faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. Verse 9 of chapter 8 of Zechariah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there was no wages for men, nor any hire for beasts. There was no peace from the enemy, but whoever went out or came in, for I sent all men, everyone against his neighbor. But now I will not treat the remnant of the people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. But thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. So again, in these days, I am determined to do good to Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. It says again, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, because God showed it to us. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace, says the Lord of hosts. People shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts. In those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you. But we have heard that God is with you. God says in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we need to stand on that word. Chapter 9 of Zechariah, the burden of your word. The burden of the word of the Lord against the land of Hadash and Damascus is resting place. Eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord. Also against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. For Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like the dust, and gold like the myrrh of the street. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza, we are seeing that right now, also shall be very sorrowful. We're seeing it right now. And Ekron, for he dried up our expectations. The king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. A mixed race shall settle in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. I will take away the blood from his mouth and the abominations from between his teeth. But he who remains, even he shall be for our God, and shall be like a leader in Judah. Ekron, like the Jebusite, I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. No more shall an oppressor pass through them, for now I have seen with my eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the fowl of a donkey. And what did our Savior come in on? He came in as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on a donkey and a colt, the foal of the donkey right behind. That's how he came into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago to save our wretched souls. Verse 10 of Zechariah chapter 9, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set shelters free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. By a bent Judah, my bow fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God of hosts, the Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like vases, like the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. For how great it is goodness. How great is, and again, for how great is his goodness and how great is beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion. God's compassion fails not. He is great and he is faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies we see because God loves us. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way, put his Holy Spirit in our body. A great day. We got to tell God thank you. Zechariah 7 and 9, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. God is not interested in religious observance or sacred rituals apart from a genuine, heartfelt, intimate relationship with him. God does not want ritual. I'm going to set up. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get up on my knees. I'm going to say this word. I'm going to say that word. Then I'm going to sit down. Then I'm going to do three songs and a poem. And then I'm going on. And that's what happens every Sunday. The same ritual, the same way. When the Holy Spirit, we don't stop. We got to do three songs and a poem. Then we're going to say a small message. So everybody's out by one hour. We don't want to be longer than an hour because we know that people don't want to be here longer than an hour. But yet I can sit and I can watch the Bears for four quarters. That's my team. That's why I'm just using me. Because I used to be that person. Go to a 9 o'clock service, 10:30, I was done, 11 o'clock. Hey, I was home, kicked back, ready for the 12 o'clock game with my family, me, Miss Bridget and the boys. Miss Bridget and her men and boys, her men and boys, watching the game. 1 hour. And a half. I went to church, came home, I was good. And then says, God said, that's what you think, little lady. I'm getting ready to pull you. And the next thing I know, God put it all in my heart. I couldn't stop. I volunteered for Vacation Bible School, and it changed my life. it changed my life and the lives of my family. We don't know God's plans for us. He wants us to feel his presence. He wants us to move forward in his word. And the word again says, a genuine, a dynamic relationship with God leads naturally to genuine and dynamic relationships with others in which you seek their best and treat them as you would like to be treated. In that golden rule, doesn't it say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? But that don't mean that when they go low, you kick them in the teeth. That's just not how we do it. We got to go higher with God and pray for them that they will get it right, that they will not try to go low and drag you through the mud, because they in the mud and the murk and the mire. You got to pray for them that do wrong, because we know that God will be the one to execute true justice. God will be the one to show mercy, and God will be the one to show compassion. He did it for us, so why would we think he wouldn't do it for others? When we were at our lowest, and I'm going to say tore up from the floor up, it was God that picked us up, dusted us off, and showed us the right way to go. He wants us to treat others the way he has treated us, with compassion, with mercy, with justice. And then as we go into Zechariah chapter 8 and 9, life lesson says, let your hands be strong, you who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophet. If you feel weak and need a shot of spiritual strength, determine right now to spend some in scripture. Praise the Lord. That's what we do here. God delights to give us strength through his word. And that word is the word of God. And the word is the word, which is Jesus Christ. But we have to be taking it in. Are you taking it in? Are you sucking in the air? Are you listening to the word? Are you taking it into your heart? Zechariah 8 and 21, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord. My pastor is an advocate of prayer. It's like we in prayer all the time. But I tell you what, prayer changes all kinds of things. And I'm believing in my life that prayer is going to change some things in it. I'm believing in my life that God has got me covered. I'm believing in my life that God is going to do some things for my family. I'm believing it. Prayer needs to be continual. We got to pray. God, prayer will not cut it. Mere ritual will not cut it. Rote prayers will not cut it. We must daily seek the Lord through our heartfelt prayers. We got to pray. Mother Valerie and I, we start out every morning on this log with prayer. We end with prayer. We believe that prayer changes things, and it will change your life. All you have to do is believe. You know, I thank God for Evangelist Shannon. I don't know if she's on this morning or not, but I tell you this, that is a prayer warrior. She will pray, she will pray, and she will pray and some more. You know, there have been times that all I needed was to pick up a phone and call her. Then Shannon prayed for her. Evangelist prayed for her. And there have been times that she'll call and say, let's pray. I need prayer. We pray together. She's a prayer partner. My prayer partner that I had passed away. And all I can say is I'm grateful to God that I heard his voice when he said, go visit. Go see her. And go pray with her. Even though she passed away, God gave her many years after our first cancer diagnosis. But I tell you what, she never once stopped praying. She never once stopped smiling. She never once said nothing, did not say God. And I'm ready. Amen. She was ready to go because she loved God like that. We've got to love God like that. So thanking God. God rest her lovely soul to Rona Beasley, my prayer partner, my friend. God bless her soul. And it says in Zechariah 9 and 9, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. And what did Zechariah prophesy? What did it say about 500 years before Jesus? And it all came to pass. About 600 years plus before the Savior. And what he prophesied, Jesus came riding in on a donkey. And the people said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We serve a just, humble Savior who doesn't wait for us to make our way to him, but who willingly comes to us. How could we not praise and worship and gladly welcome such a glorious King? Can I turn it over to Valerie? Mother Valerie is proud of the word this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Woo, Jesus.
Amen and amen and amen and amen again. Praise the Lord, saints. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Temperature is 35, no rain. I was watching the sunrise, and the sunrise was so beautiful. The darkness turning to light. It's beautiful. And Jesus is the light. Jesus is the reason for the season. December the 25th is the day that we set aside for his birthday. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not holiday, happy holiday. Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm reading out of Psalms 148:7-14. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths. Praise the Lord from the earth. Sky and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fields of trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things, lions, fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. He have exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, all the children of Israel, a people near him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Proverbs 30:29-31. There are three things which are majestic in pace, yet four which are stately in walk. A lion, which is mighty among beasts, does not turn away from any greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. Praise the Lord. I love to say that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you saints. Praise the Lord. Exalt his holy name. Revelation 18:1-24. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. King of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Rendered to her just as she has rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup where she had mixed double for her, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plague could come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges us. Kings of the earth who commit fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth will weep and moan over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise, gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, thick and scarlet, every kind of citron, wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. You shall find them no more at all. The merchant of these things who became rich by her was standing at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold, precious stone, and pearls. For in one hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by sea, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and said, alas, alas, a great city in which all who have ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down, shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpers, musicians, flutists, trumpets shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegrooms and brides shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her were found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth. Wow. Boy, God is doing something. He is really doing something. Life lessons, Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plague. God does not want his people intertwined with evil because he wants to bless them, not judge them. Come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Don't touch nothing that is unclean. Back in the day, you couldn't even touch a dead body. And now in this day and age, when people are dead, people go up and kiss them. I've seen that done. They put their lips, they be kissing the dead. But back in the day, you could not touch dead bodies. Do not touch what is unclean. Revelation 18:8. He will be utterly barren with fire. As strong as the Lord God who judge her. Just as God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah with the hail of fire, so he promised to destroy the evil world system, Babylon the Great, at the time of the end. No one can restrain the Lord's hand of judgment. You know, right now I feel America is Babylon. And Solomon and Gomorrah. There's so much stuff going on here. I was walking in Springfield and saw two females kissing each other. They didn't pay any attention to me. I stood there and watched them. And then I went on my little merry way. People are doing exactly what they want, when they want, and how they want. They don't care what you think. They really don't. They care what you think. Answers to life's questions. Can the devil really make me do it? The late comedian Cliff Wilson may have popularized the catchphrase, devil made me do it, but this excuse has always been around. We blame Satan since we know he has something to do with the temptation process. But in fact, the devil cannot make us do anything. We're supposed to put the devil, rebuke him, and put him up under your feet. The devil can't make you do anything. He can whisper in your ear to do it, but he can't make you do it. You choose to do wrong or you choose to do good. It's left up to you. God let you make a choice, and you choose to do whatever you want to do. It's your thing to do what you want to do. But in the fact, the devil cannot make us do anything. The Bible calls Satan a deceiver, father of lies. Satan's only power over us is through manipulation and deceit. If the devil could actually make us do things, then he wouldn't need to go all through the trouble of deceiving us. When he dangles the right bait in front of us at the right time, our fleshly desires make it seem as though something is relentlessly drawing us towards sin. But this power does not control us. In each case, we choose to disobey. Think of it this way. Imagine yourself standing at the edge of a cliff that drops off into a deep, rocky gorge. Now, suppose I walk up to you and say, we have kidnapped a member of your family. If you refuse to jump, your relatives will be brutally beaten and then killed. Have I made you jump? If you believe my story, and you believe that by jumping, you could save your family member. I'd have made you willing to jump or even anxious to jump, but I have not made you jump. Even if you jump and you found out on the way to the bottom that I lied about the whole thing, I still did not make you jump. I simply tricked you into jumping. On the other hand, if I walk up behind you and push you, then I made you do something contrary to what you wanted to do, felt like doing, or even thought about doing. Now think about that last time you felt tempted to sin. Did you suddenly discover that you were sinning or had sinned? Were you in the process before you ever thought about it? Or did it begin with a thought, then a feeling, then maybe a little stronger than the actual sin? Just as no one hailed Eve and forced her to bite the fruit, so no one holds you down, force you to sin. Satan cannot make you do anything, but he will do all he can to deceive you into dishonoring God. Can the devil really make me do it? No. No, the devil cannot make you do it. You do it because you choose to do it. You choose to disobey. The devil can't make you do nothing. He can deceive you, whisper into your ear, encourage you to do wrong, and tempt you to do wrong, but can't make you do it.
That's right.
Cannot make you do it. Can't. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Amen, Mother. I'm right there with you. The devil cannot make you do it. We give the devil a whole lot of credit. Whole lot of credit. Credit he's not due. We have put him in a pedestal with God, and he is not equal to God. He cannot be everywhere like God can. He cannot. He can only be one place at a time. But understand that a third of heaven came with him. So what we are giving the devil credit for may be a demonic, may be a fallen angel, but it's not Satan. But he wants to be God. And so he has his minions going out and doing stuff. You know, we've seen that in our own country where we have seen one person tell a whole bunch of people to go and do something, and they go and do it and then look up and wonder, why did I do that, like Steve Urkel from Family Matters? Because you followed out the wrong thing, and you did the wrong thing. We have to be careful what we say, what we do, and who we follow. We can't follow after everybody. And everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not always of the Lord. You know, I always think of, what was it, the slave girl who followed. And, yeah, they are men of God. Yeah, they met. They the real thing. They the real thing. Until they finally got tired of her divination and tired of her foolishness. You know, saying the right words, but the wrong spirit.
And then when they took that power, they got put in prison. But what happened? A move of God, a foundation shaking, jail doors opening. For what the devil meant for evil, God flipped it around for good. The jailer and his family got saved. Other prisoners got saved. And all they did after being beaten and thrown in jail was sing praises to the Lord. Hymns and praises, foundation. We got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And when we know that, we can have the right spirit. We can execute true justice, show mercy and compassion to our brothers. We got to treat each other right. What a word, Mother Valerie. What a word. And I love that. Can the devil really make me do it? The answer is no.
No.
Again, did the devil make me buy a pair of shoes that I didn't need? No. I wanted to choose so I bought them. That's so you can't blame nobody for what you do. You know you don't need that. You know you don't need it. But you get it anyway. And we got to understand and take responsibility for our actions. And you have to just say it to yourself. I did it. I overspent. I shouldn't have bought that. And then take responsibility for your own
man.
Because believe me, God's got you. He's got you covered from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And he loves you. He loves you more than words can say. All you got to do is believe. Trust God.
Amen.
Mother, I have a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And again, right on time. Good morning. Those who leave everything, and I'm saying that in a big way, everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful
day. Amen.
We got to leave everything. And I say it one more time, two times, three times. Everything. Can you say it with me? We got to leave everything in the hands of God. And eventually, we see God's hand in everything. Can you trust God?
Amen.
Can you believe that he will make a way out of no way? We got to do that. Keep loving him. If I tell you one thing, he surely loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. And believe that all we got to do is care for him. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything. So, Mother, that's actually all we have. Is there anyone that is listening this morning that God has put a word in your heart, in your spirit? Please just come on in. Take your phone off mute and come on in and just see what God has given you.
Amen.
And if not, we are wrapping it up. We are a little early, but we have all we got to say. Mother, did you have anything that God has put in your spirit?
No, I'm through.
So
that
am I.
God is good.
All
we have to praise the Lord and trust in the Lord no matter what we go through. We have to give him praise. We have to thank him and know that he's with you. Just know that he's with you. God is a good God, very good God. You know, I was driving home last night, and I got ready to change lanes, and I didn't see that car was over there. And God made me move my car back just in time, or I would have had a car accident. I say, God, you are great. And that's what we say, ministering angels of God encamp all around about us. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us any kind of way. Don't let me hurt nobody, and don't let nobody hurt me. And I've been so thankful today. I woke up thanking God. I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't see that car over there. I just didn't see it. It was raining. And I was on my way home. So we had prayed after we left Bible study. Let no hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, let me make it home safely. Let me, you know, get in my door. And I said, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I didn't have a car accident. I'm here. I woke up this morning thanking God, for God is a good God. He's a good God. He protects us from seen danger, unseen danger. I just didn't see that car. And if it had been an accident, I would have told them, well, I just didn't see that car over there. I was pulling into the man's lane. You know, a whole lot of times God protects us, and we don't know how we are protected. Each and every one of us have an angel, and it's just the truth. He protects his children. God is there, like he was with you when you missed that step. Angels are there to hold you up. God is just there. I mean, can nobody tell me that there is no God, that there is no Jesus, because I wouldn't believe him. I know that I know, and I'll say it again, I know that he's real. God is real. He made the heavens. He made the earth. We are going to be raptured. I do practice the rapture jump, because I know one day we all, there's 250 billion. The last count was 250 billion Christians that believe the gospel. And I met a lady, and she's from a country that worships Buddha, but she's been practicing Christianity. You know, she's now becoming a Christian, learning about Jesus. And she was sitting in my apartment. I didn't know that her country, South Korea, practiced Buddha. Buddha ain't nothing but a statue. He don't have eyes.
Come on,
he
man.
Can't help it. He don't have ears. He can't listen to you. When you make something with your own hands, like a calf or a statue or something like that, that cannot help you. It's something that you have made. And Buddha is not real. When you get in trouble, you're going to say, oh, Buddha, help me. Well, you won't be helped. That's for sure. Because Buddha is not real. A calf is not real. An idol is not real. God don't want that. He wants a relationship with you. He don't want you talking to idols. They can't talk back. I mean, I find that to be, I don't know. I don't know how people did that, but back in the day, that's what they did. They talked to idols, something that they made with their own hands. Help me. But God don't want that. And you will be judged for that if you don't repent. No, there's only one God. And this lady, she's learning about the one God. And she said her country is learning about Jesus. I mean, they didn't know. And if a person, if we don't send missionaries and people over there to teach them, how are they going to learn? It said, blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel.
Amen.
How can they learn if we don't send people over there to teach them? And then, you know, them people are hungry to learn. And it amazes me. I'm 80 years old, and I still get amazed that even in America, there are people that don't know about Jesus. I mean, it just amazes me when people say, they don't know. They really, and they're being honest. Some people have never been to church because the parents didn't take them to church. If you don't teach this generation, well, how are they going to learn? It's left up to us, like we have 35, maybe 40 children. It's left up to us to teach the children, and then they teach their children, and that's the way it goes, mouth to mouth, generation to generation, to learn about the Lord. I mean, how can they know if they burn the books and burn the Bible? How can they know that there are 66 books in the Bible, 37 in the New Testament and 27 in the Old? How can, if you don't study your word and go to church and fellowship, iron sharpens iron, how are you going to know stuff?
Amen.
They buy you books and send you to school, and some of them still didn't learn. Okay, but you got to study. Even when you go to church on Thursday and Sunday, you still have to open up the book for yourself and see if what they're teaching on Sunday is correct. You still have to study, and you have to talk to God. Man, it's just amazing. Just amazing.
Amen.
Amazing. Okay, Pastor, that's it for me.
Anyone else that would like to speak? But Mother, we're going to go out with some praise this morning. With us, this is called A Hymn of Breakthrough by Israel Helton. And it's a mass choir. And it's this new single that came out, I believe, not too long ago. But I just wanted to play it and take us out with
Amen.
It. And pray again for all. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name we pray. Let you go out with us.
Lift your hand and sing.
I need the power.